Brian Noonan in for Rokan and Anna DeVellantes on 720 WGN. We'll have the top five at five in an hour, and then Steve Dell joins us at 6 o'clock. But right now, oh, and we also have a, yes, we have tickets to the Diamond Live performance featuring Steve Richard. We'll be giving those away right before we talk to Tom Skilling after the 6:30 news. So a lot to stay tuned for. And this is very, very interesting. We've been covering a lot of police issues today between the dashboard camera and lawsuits and things like that. And, you know, the big buzzword now is transparency. We must reform the police department. We have to have transparency. We have to see what's going on. And there has to be discipline for officers who have, you know, stepped outside the lines. Very interesting lawsuit has been ongoing to try to stop the destruction of CPD disciplinary records. And one of the men who's been fighting for that is a law professor from the University of Chicago, Craig Futterman. He is also the founder of the Civil Rights and Police Accountability Clinic, and he joins me now on WGN. Craig, thanks for taking some time this afternoon.
Brian, thanks for having me, too, and happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays to you. Now, recently you had a small victory, but this lawsuit that I mentioned, first of all, I didn't realize, and I don't think most people did, that the police department has the ability to go in and destroy disciplinary records before the public or anyone else can get a look at them.
That's exactly right, and that's the problem that a lot of us didn't know about it. There was, the city agreed to a contract with the police unions that almost like a backroom deal that says, hey, we agree to destroy records after 5 years. We'll purge them from all of our systems. And that's basically the city bargaining away our right to police accountability, and a matter of fact, bargaining away records that belong to the public.
And how did no one know this was happening? How does something like this come about?
The collective bargaining agreements, I mean, what often makes the news are, hey, pensions, raises, work hours, things like that. These negotiations aren't going on in the public arena, and there isn't that much coverage of what looks like, you know, these sort of accountability things that people don't really see are going on.
So how did you discover that this was in the contracts, that these records and these files could be destroyed? Yeah. And what was the step to file this lawsuit?
Well, the deal was actually the opposite. So the contracts are publicly available, so you can see the actual provisions in the contract. And what happened was that the unions actually filed a lawsuit to say, hey, don't give these records to anybody because, city, you agreed to destroy them. And that's when we said, whoa, hold up a second.
Wait
here.
Wait a second.
Hold up a second here. These are the public records. These belong to the people, and don't destroy these records. Don't, especially not now, as we're talking about, as you said earlier, about honesty, accountability. You know, the last thing you want to do, if you got officers who've been out there, who've engaged in patterns of abuse, do you want to destroy the evidence that lets us know about that stuff, and lets also the police department know about this stuff?
Now, I mentioned that you had a small victory. They released. How did you get some files released, and what files did you get released?
Yeah, well, so first, the small victory we got, the first part of the small victory was just a Band-Aid that where the judge said, hey, don't destroy these records, or give Futterman and give his clients 2 weeks' notice before you destroy the records. Not saying we can do anything to stop them, but you just got to tell us 2 weeks in advance. But before that, we established about a year ago the legal principle in Illinois that established that, hey, these records belong to the public. That was the biggest victory. And then after we established this principle, the city turned over the last information about the last 4.5 years of police misconduct complaints, which we made available to everybody. And it's been online, and people have been using them.
And how many in those years, how many complaints were there?
Wow. Four and a half years. There were probably between 40 and 50,000 complaints.
Wow. Now, and so all of those should be available to the public, but they're not. Is there a difference between the contract for, because I was reading most of those complaints were that were released were for sergeants, captains, and lieutenants. Is there a different contract for those officers than it is for the more rank and file guys? Is it were those not being released?
No, all that stuff is being released, but you're right, they're two different contracts. There's a contract for the supervisors, like sergeants, lieutenants, and captains. There are contracts for each of them, and then there's contracts for the rank and file guys, the FOP contract. The supervisor contract says you got a city, you got to purge all these records out of your databases, anything that's more than 5 years old. The rank and file contract says not just purge, not just get them out of your databases, but you got to destroy all these underlying records. And what we've been talking about really is there's a quick and easy fix, or nothing's quick and easy when you're talking about Springfield, but a legislator can pass a law that simply says one line, don't destroy police misconduct records, preserve them. And that's what ultimately needs to happen. We got a Band-Aid right now, which is a two-week window before they tell us, hey, we're going to destroy them. But we need something that's a much more permanent solution before all these records go up in smoke, because once they're gone, they're gone.
What is the FOP using as justification for saying, listen, we've got to destroy these?
Well, it starts with, hey, it's hey, city, you agreed to this stuff. That's what the contract says. That's first and foremost. That's their primary legal position. But the other thing, and here's the thing, and I'm not unsympathetic to this. It's they're like, hey, these are records. Some of them are true. Some of them are false. You know, a lot of people file false complaints,
right.
and this could ruin the reputations of good cops. And, you know, my bottom line response to this one is, and this is going to sound cruel, but it comes with the territory of being a cop. It is an extraordinary privilege, and you serve the public, and we give officers powers that we don't give any other human beings, the power to shoot, the power to kill, the power to arrest people, the power to take our freedom. And with those powers come an accountability. You're a public servant, and so it's not what you do in your private life. That's not all of our business, but if you're charged with official misconduct, that belongs to the public. The other thing they say, so in terms of false stuff, because
I wanted to jump in, Craig, because I agree with that. We do give police officers these powers, but just like anybody else, when you make false accusations, that's not right, and that shouldn't be out there, because a good cop can be accused of wrongdoing and there's no basis for it.
Yeah. Well, first of all, the records will also show that if an accusation was false, these records will show, hey, unfounded, exonerated. But secondly is, and the Laquan McDonald case, the case that everyone's been talking about, is a perfect example of this, is the court said that the public and the people also don't just simply have to take the city's word that, hey, we say this complaint's unfounded, nothing to see here. Laquan McDonald, what the police department said is, hey, nothing to see. Completely justified. That's what they wrote in all the reports. And what the court says, and what the court said that the law says, is that, hey, how the city addresses or fails to address police misconduct is also the business of the public. That's the only way that we're going to get over this thing is if we have a little bit of honesty. That's how you build trust, and that's also how you fix what's broken.
Craig Futterman is my guest. He's a law professor at the University of Chicago and the founder of the Civil Rights and Police Accountability Clinic. Talking about these records, which, again, I think I'm not the only one who is surprised that the disciplinary records of the Chicago Police Department can be destroyed after a certain number of years. Has the city responded at all about why they gave up this huge concession to the unions?
No, or not that I know of. I mean, so now the city is saying, hey, they agree these things shouldn't be destroyed, but but they agreed in a contract to the contrary. And one of the things that we've challenged is it appropriate ever for, you know, a government body to bargain away the rights of the public, to bargain away the rights of the people? We don't think so, but the big and long-term fix, again, as I say, is legislator act. It's time for a legislature to act, you know, one line. Don't destroy police misconduct records, you know, because right now, and this will dramatize this too, and regardless of how people feel about this. I also sit, I'm a commissioner on what's called the Illinois State Torture Commission. And there are 100 claims of people who are sitting in prison right now, some of whom belong there, and some of whom may be innocent, and who they say, shoot, they were tortured by people who worked under John Burge and stuff. When it first came out, we didn't believe it. You know, right. No one believed it. No one turned their head. Now we know, hey, this happened. This happened systematically. A guy was just released from prison after 25 years about 2 months ago. These guys who are sitting in prison right now, some innocent, some guilty, you're talking about destroying any evidence that would ever give an innocent guy a chance. And that's just basic fairness. You know, it's bottom line. Everyone has a right to be heard and to find out what the truth is. Don't destroy evidence of the truth.
Craig Futterman's my guest. He is the founder of the Civil Rights and Police Accountability Clinic. Craig, can you hold on?
You got it.
All right. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about, the change now. And can real accountability be achieved? Brian Noonan for Rowan Anna. Talking with Craig Futterman. He is a clinical professor of law at the University of Chicago and the founder of the Civil Rights and Police Accountability Clinic. Craig, you got this Band-Aid from the judge. They have to now give you 2 weeks' notice before they can destroy any records. You've been fighting for accountability for a long time, and it seems in the last couple years, people are really focusing on that. It's not so much, let's fire this person, let's fire that person. It's, let's change the system. You've seen this before. How confident are you that we can start actually getting more transparency, getting more accountability, and seeing real change?
I'm hopeful. I'm really hopeful, Brian. And I feel like this is a moment that's different than any moment that I've experienced in my lifetime. But one of the reasons I'm hopeful, and a primary reason I'm hopeful, is, and this is even what all that data and all those records show, and it's my experience as well, is that the vast majority of officers in Chicago, they're not getting complaints. 80% of the Chicago police force isn't out there busting heads. They have 0 to 3 complaints throughout most of their careers. More than half of the force have no complaints their entire careers. The vast majority of cops out here want nothing more also than to address some of these issues because, hey, this lack of trust, when you got a few and a small percent who are out there abusing their powers, it's making everyone look bad and it steals their honor. I got nothing but the greatest respect and admiration for the men and women who serve us with honor. And I think they also, the vast majority of them, who unfortunately have been the silent minority because of issues like the code of silence, the vast majority of them want change too. And this moment can help empower that silent minority to really step up.
How important is it for that minority then to step up when the contract negotiations come around and say to the FOP, listen, we are out on the front lines. We're the ones who are taking the flak for this tiny number of cops who are doing the wrong thing. You got to get these clauses out of the contract so that people see that we want what's best for the city as well.
I hope so. It's been a long issue here, and there's been a big issue. Does the FOP represent the majority of officers? Does it represent all of the officers? I understand this even from a perspective of a lawyer. It's everybody has the right to a defense. So that means if an officer is charged with doing something wrong, he or she has every right to a lawyer and has every right to have someone fight for them and fight for them with all their might. But the taken as a whole, when it's just no matter what, we are going to protect in the aggregate the officers who give the vast majority of our guys and women a bad name, that's something that hasn't been good for the police force. And so I hope that silent majority will really be able to step up here.
And I think it's important to repeat this statistic again. From 2011 to 2015, 30% of the complaints against police were against just 10% of the officers on duty. So
exactly right.
Very small number doing the worst stuff, and unfortunately they're getting all the attention and casting a bad shadow on the others. Well, Craig, keep up the good fight, and we'll keep in touch. Thanks for your time, and happy holidays.
Thanks so much, Brian. Right back at you.
Take care. All right, on the other side of the news, we will talk about, Chipotle. You like a burrito bowl? Sure, a lot of people do, and it's making a lot of people sick. We'll talk about that after the news on WGN.